like a wonderful thing. I mean, man, all we do is love. But really, it's a bit unrealistic. You just can't be about love and have just great loving feelings for each other. That's what we're talking about in this series about community. Community is much deeper than that. It's much more intricate than just having interesting things to say to one another. It's why we get in conflict sometimes, what we talked about the very first week. It's why we need a cause, which is what we talked about last week. And today, I told you I was going to do this last week. I'm going to take about 10 minutes right now and talk about an update of one of the causes that we've been about at this church. If you're new, about a few weeks ago, we ended up a spiritual journey where we figured out, God, what would you have me give above and beyond what I normally give for 3 years to make more room for my friends in this place? And we actually didn't just want to build into this place, but also in the world, building into South Africa, building into the rest of the United States, building into our local city here, in this place of 3500 Madison. A lot of people have just sacrificed hardcore. We want to give you a little update on that because you're going, gosh, what's happening? So that's what I want to do right now, give you a little update. First of all, $250,000 off the top, as we said all along, was going to be going to South Africa, our partnership with Charity and Faith Church, which is in Mamelodi, South Africa, to build an AIDS hospice and more mortuary center. And this is the site plan and the elevation plan for that. What's going on with this is there's 6 of our leaders who are going over there in July in just a couple weeks to now scout out how do we disperse those funds. Do we actually give that directly to the church and have them pay the contractor? Do we set up a relationship with the contractor ourselves? Do we get a third-party engineer that sort of manages that project and is a go-between and disperses those funds? And while they're looking at that, they're also going to be taking a look at, do we send people over here to do some work? What would people do when they come over here? People from South Africa come here. What does that look like? What else happens in the partnership? And so that's what's going to be happening in July, and that's just going really, really well. Things are just progressing very, very nicely. Then we had our entire country. How can we bless our entire country, build into that? And we really feel like we needed to give away absolutely free some of the greatest things that God is doing in our church and other churches similar to ours around the country that are trying to help their friends who have given up on church but haven't necessarily given up on God. To give absolutely free some of our creative content away, whether that be sermons, videos, leadership training stuff, kids club curriculum that is written. I mean, any of that stuff is a huge blessing. Crazychurch.com. is what that's about. CrazyChurch.com. That's $100,000 right off of the top with what that was about. $100,000 and building that infrastructure. We had a meeting 2 weeks ago or so with 4 of the 5 churches that are going to be contributing content from around the country at O'Hare Airport in Chicago, talking about, okay, what stuff are we going to put on there? How does this best function? It went awesome. It went beautiful. It looks like we'll have a site that we'll be able to test out and look at early fall, and then we'll do advertising and help other churches how to know to get those absolutely free resources to help their churches, and out there with an open website probably the beginning of next year. Going very, very, very cool. And then finally, or not finally, I actually flip-flop things. City of Cincinnati, here in the city of Cincinnati, to build into our city and those who are in poverty, we have a thing that is most needed, that is people, to bless and build into people. And so we've been working with a number of different ministries. Oh, and by the way, before I say anything else, you can't hold me to anything I say. And I've said that every time, because this is why. Because we're giving the real information in real time. We're not putting pad or spin on it. So if stuff changes, we'll honor our whole community and let everybody kind of know how things have changed. But this is kind of how things are going. And so we've been trying to find how can we have an infrastructure to help serve the poor that our people, hundreds of people every month, get involved and deployed in that. And we haven't been sure exactly what that's going to look like. What's starting to come to clarity, the thing that we've been working on that includes 3 other churches to partner with, Vineyard Community Church, New Jerusalem, and Christ Emmanuel, as well as 5 inner city ministries, Jobs Plus, City Gospel Mission, City Cure, Crossroad Health Clinic, and Lord's Gym, working together to have a one-stop place where the basic needs can be met and where people can do life on life, interact with others. Looks like it's coming together pretty well. We've hired an executive director. His name is Mark Stetcher, who's a catalytic leader trying to pull that whole stuff together. It looks like that's $250,000 that we're earmarking as a continuation of what we've done in the city and a beginning point to bigger commitments. Looks like it's going to be going there. We're very pretty encouraged with how things are developing. Trying to get 7 organizations, 9 organizations on the same page, going the same direction is a hard thing. But man, looks like God's doing something there, and it's awesome, 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 awesome. And then finally, we have this property right here, 3500 Madison. Am I talking too fast for you? That's what I like. Let me catch my breath for a minute. Actually, I've heard that we can comprehend things faster than we can speak them. I know one guy who was kind of, you know, a real anal learner, and he actually bought a tape recorder that he can speed up tapes, and so he puts them into his car and he listens to like teaching tapes and he speeds them up so he doesn't waste time. So I'm trying not to waste time. So I'm talking fast, but probably actually wasted time just telling you about that. You know what I mean? Anyway, so the rest of the preponderance of the money goes to maximizing this site, creating space for our friends. You see, we're in the dead of summer, and church is supposed to go down attendance-wise in summer. Ours really doesn't and hasn't. And we're going to try to maximize this site. And so here's what some of the exterior plans are looking like right now. This is, if you're back, it's the Moser Dodge. You see our existing office on the left. The sanctuary is right smack dab, 3,500 seats, right smack dab in the parking lot where most of you parked. And off the right, you can see a chapel entrance with weddings, funerals, other meetings. That little architectural detail over the entranceway right now is on our building. It's kind of in the middle of where the sanctuary would be. And to save money, we're kind of unbolting that, cutting that down, moving that over to there to be an architectural element for the chapel where that is. And if you're back, it's the AutoZone, the way this thing looks. Back is the AutoZone. You can see the sanctuary in the front. You can see the main entrance with all that glass. And that main entrance looks exactly the same over here as it does over on this side of the building. And you got the little chapel entrance there. And then you got all the extensive work with Kids Club. What do you think? Look cool? We're not spending money right now on inspirational drawings for anybody. This is just, you know, right smack off of the architect's easel. And we just want to give you the real-time info and all that. So here's how this all thing, you know, shakes out financially. We said earlier that it'd be about $22.6 million. We felt for all that I've just talked about, all the South Africa, all that kind of stuff. And I also said, don't hold us to anything. Don't hold us that well. Interestingly enough, you know, that number still looks great. It looks like our planning has been really right dead on. It looks like everything is still right in that line as we've talked all along. And so you'd think, gosh, $25 million, which is what was unbelievably committed by the generosity of all of us in here, what God led us to above and beyond. You'd think, gosh, no-brainer, slam dunk, just do whatever, right? Well, not necessarily. Got a couple wild cards we're wrestling with. One is we've got a contract with Moser Dodge above and beyond that to buy them. As we talked about that, that's for $4.2 million. That's over there. That's not included in that. We got to close on that in 11 days or that goes away. And so we're trying to scramble and trying to figure out exactly how that works, how we would do that. Also, we need to get a loan from the bank because my commitment, I can't do it all right now. It's over 3 years, and that's the way most of us are too. Yet we're going to spend all the money inside the next 15 months. We need to get a loan on the front part of that. Well, the cost of that money is about $3 million. You know, the interest on that kind of money is about $3 million. So we got to figure out how to allocate for that. And on top of that, the bank is going to loan us only 80 or only, depends on how you look at it, 80% of that. You could say, gosh, why not 100%? I wish it was 100%. But also at the same time, I realize as bankers and as conservative as they are, they're just looking at a piece of paper called commitment cards. They're just looking at this piece of paper and say, okay, we'll trust this, we'll loan you money. It's pretty incredible when you think about it. And they actually came over, they sat in a room for like 8 hours straight, all their little, you know, wormy bean counter hands going through every little commitment card, going, looking at it, put a microscope and all that. Very, very interesting how that works. So, you know, you take 80% of that 25 and cost of money, all that stuff, you chop that down and it's kind of have a cash flow game. How do you pay for stuff early? How do you wait on stuff? How do you pay for stuff as it comes in out of cash? All that stuff. So I think that to the naked eye, there's not going to be any difference in the project. I think it's all going to come together. But we've got a lot of moving parts that are really going to come together over the next 2 weeks. We'll try to give you just a brief update on that. Also, with all that stuff, is we've got packets that have gone out to 400 to 500 people who used to be part of our church and moved out of town to invite people to be part of this journey. There's commitment cards in there, and people are actually still making commitments who are out of town because they believe in the vision of this place. And there's still people in our place who are still not sure, and please get sure soon. Please. Please. I mean, this, we need to like nail this. So, and you can still do that and love to have you as a part of this journey. It's a fun thing. All right. Cool? I understand? Are you happy we did that? All right. Fun stuff. All right. Let's pray before we go. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say this. If I was a betting man, which I am in some context, I would say that you probably are going to see paving going out in the grassy area over here probably in the next 2 to 3 weeks. And I would say mid, late August, there'll be big holes being dug in the front parking where the sanctuary go and in the side where Kids Club. So that's what that looks. Let's pray. God, thank you for the excitement in this place and and the alignment that people have to be about what you're doing in this church, no matter where we are in our relationship with you. I pray today as we continue to talk about community, you'd make all this stuff make sense, because it really all does tie together, because you are a consistent God. And stuff that happens with buildings is still stuff that you're doing in individual hearts, and it's stuff that you've been doing since the beginning of time, and specifically people celebrating. And help us to know what your heart is for our hearts. Help us to grow today. And I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, a few things that are happening in the world. I read Wall Street Journal, and some interesting things that have happened this last week. One of the articles on the front page of Wall Street Journal was, "Diet of worms isn't just history. Press to raise test scores. Principals are resorting to new gross-out stunts." Here's what this first part of this article said. El Paso, Texas, last winter, Principal Carl Onick issued a challenge to her students at L.B. Johnson Elementary School. If each grade met its goal in a book reading contest, she would eat worms. On May 21st, Miss Onick stood up in the school cafeteria and ate 2 8-inch night crawlers sautéed with mushrooms and onions. The children squealed. Then Assistant Principal Alberto Reyes plucked 2 worms from a jar and ate them raw. "I bit the first one and it squirted all over my mouth," he says. "So the second time, I just swallowed." And this is in the fuddy-duddy Wall Street Journal. If the Wall Street Journal can have this on the front page, and we can talk about this in church. There actually is an interesting point about this. As state and federal pressure intensifies on public school... This is really bothering you, isn't it? This is what I'm saying. As state and federal pressure intensifies on public schools, outrageous acts by teachers and administrators are becoming increasingly popular motivational tools. Educators have long agreed to the dunking pool and a pie in the face to raise money. But now, they're turning to stunts inspired by reality TV to get students to read and perform well on tests. Some purists might believe that this is the degradation of our educational system, and it really isn't. It's really not. What it is, it's leveraging a biblical principle called celebration. Celebration is critical for community. And that which gets celebrated is that which gets done. Always. Period. That which gets celebrated is that which gets done. And what they're trying to do is, we can have this celebration if our cause in elevating test scores goes up. And that's part of what celebration does. It brings out the best in us, and it should motivate us. And that's why it is a part of every healthy and especially biblically functioning community. Because celebration happens in community. One of our communities around here is a staff community. It's one of the communities I live and operate in. I'm in a number of different communities. One is the staff community. And we in the early years of this church had a real problem with staff turnover. And there was a number of different reasons for that. One of the reasons was some things about our staff community weren't very healthy in the early run, and specifically were some things about me that wasn't very healthy. And so that contributed to some of our staff turnover in the early years. But another massive thing that was contributed to it was we just didn't make the right choices in hiring the right people. And so over the years, we've developed a number of different screening processes so the people, we know that for their benefit and the church's benefit, they're in the right slot, and they're in the right spot so that, you know, everybody can really progress. And one of the things that we've done is we've hired a lot of temps to do admin work and stuff like that. And I have this one person who's been helping me as an admin. Her name is Barb. And she was a temp. We didn't think it was going to be anything more other than her just doing some spot work as a temp. And she's there for about 9 months. And we thought, wow, maybe she could be a great just permanent assistant for me. So we brought her on for 6 months. And for 6 months, we're going to treat you like a full bona fide staff member. Then after 6 months, we're going to reevaluate what this thing looks like. So this last Friday, I have a meeting with her because the 6 month is up. We've got to figure out, you know, what are we going to do with this whole thing? And we decided, obviously, she's done a fantastic job, and we're just going to hire her full time. And so one of the people who's kind of an office manager, Marcus, has a great idea of after we have the meeting in my office, we say, okay, here's exactly what we want to do. Would you take on this full position? Here's the salaries, all this kind of stuff. Assuming she says yes, let's celebrate her. So a good idea. So we have this great meeting. She comes out, and all the rest of the staff is there with a cake, you know. Woo! People clapping. Yeah, yeah. It was a really, really cool, touching time of celebration in the midst of our day. When do businesses tend to celebrate their employees? When is that? When is that? When do people celebrate people? When they leave. Exactly. When they leave. Boy, that makes you feel good. You're leaving. Oh, let's have a party for you. Yes. You're retiring. You're leaving. Going someplace else. Well, that's so whacked. How much more value would people feel? How much better work would they do if they were celebrated while they were still there? I know people that have made a decision to take a new job, go to a new company. And I'm thinking of one person in specific. As soon as he let his, he was going to a new company and they were giving him incredible responsibility, pay, actually two levels up, just bam, 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 great stuff. As soon as word gets back to his current company that's going to do that, all of a sudden they start having meetings with them and saying, well, this was the promotions you were going to get. And this is what salary you can have if you stay. And all of a sudden they start being interested in his feelings. Well, tell us, how do you feel about our company? And how are you doing? And never had this kind of discussions before, but now all of a sudden they're having these nice, you know, conversations. Too late. Too late. Because they weren't about celebrating him and valuing him and in communion with him at that moment, they lost somebody they never, ever wanted to lose. This is not the way it should be. We should be celebrating one another in community while we are doing life together, because that is the way things are supposed to operate. Because celebration follows transformation. Celebration follows transformation. I'm kind of being a little bit of introspective here because we're in summer and we're sort of at the end of a ministry year. Sometimes ministry years run like school years. And I'm thinking about interesting things that happened this last year. One of them obviously being my assistant in this moment of celebration. Another thing of celebration, principle of it, happened our last baptism service. We had there was a guy in this tub that was being filled right here, and we were baptizing him. And I was kind of surprised to actually see him in the tub because he's been around like forever. Forever. And just about everybody in here has probably had your hand shaken by him out by the front. He's been here for like 6 years. And so I figured, well, this is probably somebody who got baptized as an infant and just kind of wanted to do this now with his mind fully functioning to know this is what it's about. So that's kind of what I thought. But then realized that that was not what it was. It took him 6 years to come to a place where he was really willing to give his life to Christ. It took him 6 years being in the midst of our community to know that this was a place that was safe for him. It took him 6 years to wrestle through his intellectual challenges with the Christian faith. It took him 6 years to examine, does science negate faith? It took him 6 years to look at all of the lies in here. Those of us who are seekers, who are not sure who Jesus is, those of us who call ourselves Christ followers, took us 6 years to take a look at our community and say, do these people really believe and live what they believe? And it was an unbelievable moment that was about transformation when he went under the water. It was a celebration. We just celebrated that. People come out of the water, people are like, yeah! In the book of Luke in the Bible, there's a perfect story about how somebody has been transformed and how this relates to celebration. Luke chapter 5, here's what it says. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi, later to be known as Garrett. Levi Garrett, which will be chewing tobacco. No, it's Strauss, actually. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Now, a little background here to this story. Jesus is going about gathering people to his community. He's going about and he is doing life with people. And this intimate community, which we know as the 12 disciples or the 12 apostles, he's in the formation stage of this community. And he chooses very, very strange people to be in his community. One of them being Levi, who is somebody that nobody really likes, or a lot of people don't like anyway, because he was a tax collector. And as a Jew, you hated tax collectors because the Romans would hire Jews to be their tax collectors for the people that they were kind of oppressing, because the Jews, Jewish tax collectors, understood the income earning power and patterns of their countrymen. And so it could enable them to gouge people for more taxes. And so they were not liked at all. And here's Jesus, who is the spiritual guru, who's giving inspirational, transformational messages. He's going around healing people. Phenomenal things are happening. And yet he looks at this person who is supposedly the scum of the earth, and he says, you, why don't you follow me? Why don't you be in my community? I would love to just be your friend and do life with each other. And Levi is utterly blown away. He cannot believe that Jesus would be interested in him. And he gets up and he leaves and becomes a part of Jesus' community. And he actually gets changed to the degree that they change his name. They change his name to Matthew, and he is the author of the very first book of the New Testament, the Gospel according to Matthew. And what happens with him when he gets transformed is he does this natural, unbelievable celebration. And the people who come to his party are the kind of people you want at a party. They're fun people. They're really fun people. And here, that's what it says here. It says it's held a great banquet. Jesus and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. A large group of sinners came to his party. That's the kind of people you want at parties, because those are people who are fun. They are. I'm only half kidding for a minute. Let me talk about this for a moment. I just find that many people I know, the longer that you are in a church or the longer you are a follower of Christ, the more drab you become. The more you're concerned with religious maintenance and image maintenance, the more people look at your face and say, oh, you're a Christian? Okay, well, that's something I don't want to be. Not all the case, but very many. And it's because I've just found, generally speaking, the fresher you are in your faith, the fresher the transformation is, and the more you naturally celebrate. And even when you're not a Christ follower, you go to parties and celebrations because you're tapping into something. The pain in life is so much that you need the party, you need the celebration to go again. And that's not altogether bad. There definitely are abuses in how people party and abuses in how people celebrate. But the idea of having a party to forget about life's problems and have a celebration to hit the pause button, to get over the pain, to go again, if you will, that's actually a pretty biblical idea. It's one of the reasons why celebrations are important. I remember when God first started invading my world and started transforming me when I was in high school. I remember driving down Route 22 in Pittsburgh. I'd be driving down in my parents' Citation, Chevy Citation. I'd be driving down, and out of nowhere, I would just get this sense of God's presence, of what God was doing in my life, and I would just be overcome with joy, and I would just turn up the radio and just, woo, yeah, pour all down the windows, and yeah, I'd have this little worship service right in the front seat of my Chevy Citation. Because I just could sense God doing something in my life. And for some reason, the longer you're around the community of Christ, you have to be very careful to keep the freshness of the continuing transformation that God does in you. And the strange thing is, unfortunately, the longer the people are around churches, the more you think that celebration is not something that's a great idea. This is what happens right here. But the Pharisees and the teachers, that's a long-time church-going people, who belong to their sect, complain to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So these religious people are going, what is this about? Why are you at these celebrations? Why are you hanging out with these people that are roughnecks? What is that about? And Jesus says, you don't understand my cause. My cause is not to be religious. My cause is not to be the people who all think like me. My cause is to be in the transformation of business. My cause is to see how God uses me to touch people. And so I go to people who understand that they need transformed. They need change. Doctors don't get paid when they stay around healthy people. They get paid and they get rewarded when they're about the cause of helping people have physical ailments. And that is what I'm about. These people don't understand celebration. They don't understand the cause that Jesus is about. And that's why they never really felt like they were part of his community. And here's what Jesus continues and says this. They said to him, John's disciples often fast and pray, and so do the disciples of the Pharisees, but yours go on eating and drinking. Jesus answered, what this means, fasting and all that kind of stuff, is they're saying, hey, look, we see these other people who are in these spiritual communities, like John the Baptist and that kind of thing, and they do spiritual stuff. Like they fast, they don't have food for periods of time, and they devote all that extra time to praying. You want to be spiritual? Don't have food and put your face down on the floor and pray. How come all these people who are more spiritual than you are doing this, but you're not doing this, you're going to parties. You're in a celebration. You know, what's all this about? Jesus answered, can you make the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. I've done fasting before. There's nothing worse than fasting, and all of a sudden, there's a party that's on the calendar, and you got to go to that party and not eat. It's real, 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 real bummer. And this is what Jesus is saying. He said, there's a place for fasting. It's a good thing. Greatest place for praying, obviously. That's a great thing. It's just that this is a celebration moment because the culmination point of God's history is right now. As the Son of God, something unique and special is happening right now. And now is not the time to be glum going around with your face on the floor. Now is the time to have a party because there's something unique happening right now. Because what God is doing is God is wedding people to him. And people who have a relationship with him through me, through his son Jesus, the church, or whoever comes to me, the bride of Christ, and I am the groom, and there is a unique thing that's happening right now. And that's some of the greatest parties that some of us have ever been to. Weddings. Weddings. Jesus is saying, now is the time for the reception, except their receptions were really, really awesome. Our receptions are like 3 hours. Theirs are like 7 days. In fact, the very first miracle that Jesus ever did is he supplied the booze for the reception. Turned water into wine. People think, oh, no, he didn't. He did. Read it there. First miracle he did, he facilitated the celebration. He facilitated the party. And what Jesus is saying is, this is time to celebrate. And why don't you people understand the principle of celebration? That celebration always naturally follows transformation. That is what it is about. And one of the things I know is if celebration, recognizing who God is, celebrating Him, celebrating other people, the community that you're in, your work community, your neighbor community, your friend community, if celebration is not a part of that, I know that your heart is not as hot towards God and warm as it could be. Because God has ordered our hearts to need moments of celebration. It's critical, it's healthy, and it's necessary. That's why celebration is actually a discipline to be learned. Celebration is a discipline to be learned. One of the things that was kind of cool that happened this last year was a bunch of people who work with Kids Club, some of our volunteer leaders of Kids Club, went to a conference. Maybe work with Kids Club. Raise your hand. Let's celebrate you right now. Yeah! Woo! Yes! Well, celebration, thank you so much. Building into our kids. And so we really want to build into people who are in that position. So a lot of people, so one of the things we do is we do conferences around here and take people away, pay for their conference, all that kind of stuff, just to learn and best build into them. I'm sorry, did you get sawdust on you? Hey, you know, you want to be an extrovert and sit in the front? You get my spit and sawdust. You never know what you're going to get. Absolutely never know what you're going to get. So at this event, actually what happens it's a discipline. It's a discipline to identify what is the conference we need to go to and then do the right things at those conferences. So one of the things that's sort of become tradition, we take people to a conference, people go out afterwards. If you've ever gone to a conference seminar, normally what happens, you get overwhelmed with information, you go back to your hotel room and you veg out watching HBO or something like that, you know? Well, with us, what we'll do, and I wasn't there, I learned about this because I saw people walking around after they got back and they were like this. I said, how was the time? Oh, it was great. It was great. Well, tell your face, because you're looking like really tired. I found out why people were tired. They were tired because afterwards, one of the disciplines is to go out, have a meal together, and then spend the rest of the night going around and celebrating each other, celebrating what they've seen God do in their life, celebrating the things that they have learned, and they build into each other, and they'd be up to like 1 o'clock in the morning. And then go back and have to be back at the conference at 8 o'clock and do the same thing the next day. But that is a discipline that we do because it helps people learn, grow, get fired up, and do the cause that much better. Why we need disciplines in our life. Disciplines are there to be a blessing to us. Disciplines are there to be a blessing to us. Father's Day is a discipline that's in our calendar. It's meant to be a blessing to us to help us affirm our dads or those who are dads to get affirmation. It's a discipline. Wedding anniversaries, another 50th wedding anniversary just the other day with my in-laws, Libby's parents, Roger and Sally Neubauer. Here they are right here. 50 years, if you know them. And then this is a picture of them 50 years ago. Look at that. Lance Romance right there. My friend Roger. Lance Romance. One of the interesting things that happened at this thing, this 50th anniversary, was everybody who was there in the midst of the celebration, whether you were married or not, you were inspired. You were inspired. You said, man, my life needs to be about that which is beyond just me. Libby and I are sitting there, having been married for 16 years. We're going, doggone it, we're going to make it 50 years. We're going to do this. It inspired great conversation because this was a celebratory moment that brought out the best in us. It did something magical inside of us. And this is why God actually mandates in the scripture, he mandates celebrations. You read the scriptures and there's all these things he mandates. Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of First Fruits, Feast of Harvest. These things where, hey, it's time to pick the harvest. Let's have a party because God has just provided food for us. Yes, have a party. Woo! Passover feast. It's a law. It's a thing. Got to do the Passover feast because there's this incredible thing where Moses went to Egypt and said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, let my people go. Let people go. And God will pass over you. And if you don't, he won't pass over you. He'll whack you. You know, and someday DreamWorks is going to do a thing called Prince of Egypt. And it's all going to be about how you messed up and all that kind of stuff. And they didn't do it. And so God passed all. I don't want to get into the whole story. But anyway, it's the Passover feast. And Jews still do that today. We still celebrate that in some level or another. And God said, do that. Every year, come together and say, wow, let's think about how God did this incredible thing. Let's have a celebration. Yeah, party. Oh, God, you're so good. And let's pray to God and talk to him and each other. And just fire each other up and celebrate this in community. Feast after feast, celebration after celebration. Parties are God's idea. Celebration are God's idea. It is a discipline that God wants and that God gives us. Do you mind coming up for me? I know if you're in the front row, you're an extrovert, and this doesn't bother you. But I want to have people ask your name. Come on up here. I need your help here. Could you just hold this right there? Yes, thank you very much. There's some things that easy. Okay, there's some things. Oh gosh. Once we get started, all right, there you go. Ah, man. All right, one more. You know, there's some things that we do. That we cannot do alone. Thank you very much. Give her a hand for coming up. Didn't expect that. Thank you very much. You know, there are some things that we cannot do alone, that we need other people for. And that's part of the reason for community. You can do a lot of things in your life by yourself. But those things that are most important, those things that are most significant, we need each other for. We need community. There we go. That's pretty good, isn't it? Let me tell you what. If the last 20 minutes have been hard for you, they've been hell for me. This has been utterly, do you have any idea what it's like to use different parts of your brain, building and communicating at the same time? You ever been like at a picnic and you're trying to hear like three conversations at the same time, you can't do this? It's been very, very difficult for me to do this. But that's why what I'm feeling right now is an incredible sense of satisfaction. Because the concrete has just happened, and this is one of the things that communities need to celebrate. Celebration comes from the concrete. See, this whole message has been about community because I didn't think about this myself. Somebody else thought, Henry thought about doing the table thing for this point. And then we had a run through yesterday to practice this thing. And Brian Wells had the idea of putting my notes on the wood. If you wondered how I was doing that to make it easier for me. Things that are of value come in the midst of community. And communities need the concrete to celebrate. I've been building a deck and I pretty much just finished it. I had a guy just offer his services to help me out. And for various reasons, I kind of jumped in and finished the project before he could really get engaged. And the reason is because I like building things. Let me tell you why. My job is such that when I turn around and look at my office as I leave, sometimes I go, what did I just do? What did I do? I mean, my schedule's full. I had meetings. I prayed. I studied. I planned. I had personal interactions. I fill my day. But sometimes I turn around, look around, and say, "What just happened today? What just happened? I need the concrete. I need more concrete things in my life." And so when I do a deck or something like that, I actually can turn around at the end of the day and go, "Ah, that happened." And here's how sick I am. When I go to bed after I've done a project, and I'll do this tonight actually, I'll spend like a half an hour before I fall asleep reliving every cut that I just did. I'll relive every screw. I'll think every router bit. That's really crazy, but it's like therapy for me. I enjoy that because when I have something concrete, it helps me to celebrate. And I think that's one of the reasons why God used concrete things throughout scriptures to inspire people to celebrate. You ever notice how many building projects, how many concrete things there are that God wanted in communities to do? He says there's going to be this huge flood. He calls this little community called Noah's family. He said, you need to build this ark, this concrete ark. They do this ark. They live. Everyone else dies. They get on the dry land and say, yeah! And celebrate! Woo! They're all happy. You know, there's a concrete thing. God goes and he gets these 10 commandments. He said, I want to store these in this thing called the Ark of the Covenant, this box. And here's the specific details on how you're supposed to build this thing. And the people are going to carry it around, these priests. Here's exactly what they need to wear. And here's how you're going to kind of put their whole garments together. And they got all done with that thing. And it was a cause for celebration. Then you need to put this in this thing called a tabernacle. It's going to be wandering as you, my people wander You're going to have this tabernacle. You have to set it up, tear it down. Here's exactly what it needs to look like. They get this thing done. They get this thing built. They have celebrations. Then there's this stuff like a wall around Jerusalem that's fallen down, and they have a building project. Let's rebuild the wall. Then why does God need the wall rebuilt? He can protect Jerusalem if he wants. Why would he call Nehemiah as a leader to get people rallying around building that wall? I think one of the reasons is because that community needed a concrete cause to rally around. To get the wall up, what happens? Woo! Celebration, God, thank you so much. It causes us to worship you and tell you how much we appreciate you and appreciate each other and all that kind of stuff. Build a temple, a permanent temple. Do the same thing. Temple gets torn down. They rebuild the temple. I mean, you'll see over and over and over and over again, causes that lead to celebration. Many of those causes are around the concrete. It's the reason why there was a buzz in here about a half an hour ago. It's the reason why there's a buzz for many of us when we took a look at those building things. It's because those of us who engage in that journey, those things are a concrete reminder of the transformation that God's been doing in us. And we naturally celebrate and applaud. We naturally are engaged because that is the way communities are designed to function. I want to invite the band to come up. And as they're coming up, we're going to do a little exercise in a moment. But I want to give everybody a little homework. Here's your homework for this week. I want you to identify a community that you are a part of, and I'd like you to instigate a celebration. The community could be a friend of yours. You're kind of community together, and maybe the celebration is you're going to go out to Don Pablo's or someplace to eat, and you're going to have a Happy Friend Day cake for them or something like that. And you're going to have all the servers come out and sing some cheesy, happy friend, or something like that. You're just going to kind of celebrate them being your friend. And at the end of the day, you're going to say, I'm sorry to embarrass you, but I want to tell you how much I appreciate you, and I want to celebrate you right now. Maybe it's people you work with, or maybe it's people in your neighborhood, and you want to have some kind of get-together. Maybe you just want to buy like some 15-cent little knick-knack for everybody and say, I want to give you this, and when I give you this, this reminds me of something about your character that I really appreciate. And you want to, bam, call that out. You'd be amazed at how few times people are celebrated. And we need that as people. We need that. That's not an unhealthy thing. That's a godly, biblical thing. Every community needs that. Life is too hard to go at it alone. It's too hard to live it outside of celebration. God, many of us, maybe for the first time, want to know who you are. Maybe in the context of community here today, we saw things from a perspective we hadn't seen before. We saw that you are not a killjoy God, but you're a God that delights in people who are about you and delights in celebration. And maybe for some of us, we want to just formally come into your community. We want to receive your Son into our life. We want to say, that's what I want to be about, God. Just come in. God, thank you for desiring to have community with us and be in relationship with us. And thank you for what you're doing in this community called Crossroads Community Church. And it's in your Son's name that I pray. Amen. All right, one thing before you leave, actually two things. You know, if you're pregnant, oh, I didn't say this, gosh, I'm glad. If you're pregnant, you know, we've got like community members that are inside of you. You know, it's kind of a cool thing. And we want to do just a little exercise we might have fun with later. If you're pregnant and you're in here, we'd love to get a picture of you. We'll tell you why if you don't mind. But you could just come down front afterwards. We'd just like to get a picture of you. It'd be kind of a cool thing. That's one thing. Second thing is next level. The cause is to help us go deeper in our relationship with God. And the next level happens on Wednesday nights. And the next level is not communication pizzazz at the next level. Some speakers it is, but it really is kind of stuff that's kind of makes you go, hmm. And this week is one of my favorite, or actually become one of our favorites. So my seminary professor had a big impact on me in seminary, and he's actually spoken here 3 or 4 times, and he pretty much blows us away every time he comes. But when he comes, it takes people about 5 or 10 minutes to get engaged, because Alan is not the, you know, the most, you know, woo-hoo-hoo kind of speaker, but his insights are incredibly deep and soul-satisfying. He's going to be talking about really blood and death. And what does that mean when you celebrate communion? I mean, what's the animal sacrificial system? Why does Jesus have to die on the cross? What, isn't that barbaric? And then we're going to celebrate communion and what all that means. So it's going to be cool. So I hope you can make this Wednesday. All right. See you later. Have a great week. See you next week.